praise is good. We love to receive it. We don't often give it. And it's been said many times of Scotsmen, you know, the best praise you'll ever get was it's no bad. We're a wee bit sticky that way. And sometimes we can be stubbornly Scottish in our attitude to God. And we do not praise him as he deserves to be praised. And we concentrate on the negative. We accentuate the negative instead of looking beyond the negative to the positive and to God himself. Praise is healthy. You see, if you're praising a worthy object, it means you're identifying and focusing on what is positive and wholesome. And that's the opposite from identifying and focusing on things that are unwholesome and negative. And Christian people who have come to God in Christ have no business being problem-orientated and negative in our outlook to life or anything. It means we've got him out of focus for a little while if we become too overwhelmed by the dark clouds and the difficulties that face us. Praise is a great place to begin in the morning. It helps us to focus on what is positive. It helps us to look for what is good. You know, in schools, sometimes it's very interesting to hear teachers will say to wee boys, you know, what's 6 times 7? And he'll say 41. And, well, he's wrong, isn't he? And she'll say, no. And immediately there's a whole negative thing put into place, you know. And there's no acknowledgement that he tried, and maybe he was nearer than the time before, I don't know. But to accentuate the negative is not helpful, and it's not a Christian, should not be, a Christian activity. It's about building people up, not breaking people down, and focusing on all the problems and the difficulties. Praise shows a proper understanding and appreciation of what is worthy. Derek Bingham told a wonderful story about a little boy who was a little son of a friend of his, who was walking through a garden in the summer, and the wee boy kept trailing behind the others. And the mother began to get a wee bit concerned that he was always at a distance. And when they looked back, he was staring into the flowers almost one at a time. And when she went back to see what he was doing, he was saying, "Well done, God. Well done, God." He had been impressed by the flowers, and he thought it would only be right to praise God for the flowers. How simple is that? But focusing on something that's beautiful and worthy and true, set your minds on things that. And you know, if we can't praise what is wonderful and beautiful, then what can we praise? I mean, that's what praise is for. It's to celebrate something that is wonderful and beautiful. And there's another great story that I quite like about the American visitor who went to the Louvre in Paris. And you know, if you've ever been there, it's that big glass pyramid, you know. You enter through the glass pyramid and you go away downstairs, and there's gallery and gallery and gallery, and there are all kinds of wonderful paintings and sculptures and Mona Lisa and so on and so on. And this particular American, who was in a bit of a hurry and a wee bit kind of brash as he was leaving, he said to the caretaker, one of the caretakers, "I don't care for your paintings very much, you know." And the caretaker said to him, "The paintings are no longer on trial. Only those who come to see them." The point being, he had no appreciation of the beauty, complexity, the skill, and he was missing it. He was skating all over the surface and not getting to the substance of it. So we need to take care. We need to ask God to give us a spirit of praise when we come to him. Spirit of praise. He inhabits the praise of his people. And so tonight, that's what I want us to focus on. What is good, healthy, good for us, to show appreciation of what is worthy of true worship. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. A new song, a hymn of praise. You remember Paul and Silas in the jail in Philippi. It says there in Acts 16 that round about midnight, now think about this, round about midnight, and they're in the prison, and I suppose there are certain question marks and uncertainties about what will happen in the morning, and it said they were praying and they were singing hymns to God. Imagine, at midnight in the prison, and it says the other prisoners were listening. And there is nothing so charming, if we may use that word, nothing so charming as Christians who are marked by this spirit of praise and appreciation for what God has done. It's not a natural thing. It's something that is engendered by His Spirit within us. A spirit of praise. So let's turn to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. Now, one of the things that I like about this great psalm is, if you notice the first word, and you notice the last word. The first word is praise, and the last word is praise. This psalm is a praise sandwich. Everything between the praise and the praise is just all about praise. So it's just a wonderful psalm. Let's read it together. It begins, "Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Wonderful psalm. All about praise. Notice how it begins by talking about the response of praise. You see in verse 1, this praise is focused entirely on one subject alone. It's focused directly on the person of our Father, the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is the one who is worthy. Praise Him. And not to be able to praise Him is to show ourselves incapable of understanding what is truly worthy. Praise the Lord is focused on Him. And then do you see, it's absolutely personal. I. It's not we, it's good to praise together, but this is not plural, this is singular. I. I'm speaking for myself now. You need to speak for yourself. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord. That's the subject. Praise Him, and I will extol Him. I will speak of His glories. I will speak of all my appreciation of Him. I will try to grasp who He is. I'll do that. That'll be my preoccupation. I'll do that. On a frozen Sunday night, a wet Monday morning, I'll do that. I'll extol the Lord with all my heart, wholehearted. Wholeheartedly extolling Him, praising Him, throwing our spirits and our hearts to where He is in heaven, praising Him. It's not only personal and wholehearted. It may be personal, but it's not private. I'm really not concerned to keep this very private. I will extol the Lord with all of my heart, but I will do so in the council of the upright, and I will do so in the assembly. I'll do so in front of other people. I will do so in the midst of those who also honour Him and know Him. And I will praise Him, and I will extol Him, and you will praise Him, and you will extol Him, and we will praise Him and extol Him together. It's a praise fest. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's what's happening here. And you see, if you look in verse 10, you'll see that this praise, this upward thrust of praise, comes from personal experience. It's born of personal experience. Following His precepts, having a good understanding of who He is. And His praise is eternal. When we praise Him, we are part of a song that will never, never end. Never end. And all creation, and all that will ever be made in the new heavens and in the new earth, will sing His praise. And we want to attune ourselves to that great melody. His praise is eternal. Help me to learn those melodies now, to praise You, to extol You. That's what the psalm's saying. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. And you know, our reluctance, our sad, weary, put Scottish in, if you like, reluctance to be enthusiastic about the praise of God. I don't mean necessarily raising your hands and singing louder than everybody else and jumping up and down. You know what I mean? It's the upward thrusting surge of the Spirit. So you can hardly contain it. It's what Ian was talking about in the service this morning. The inexpressible joy of simply being near Him and sensing His presence, His nearness. Extol the Lord with all my heart. You remember there were some people, we read about them in the New Testament. Let me just read it to you. This is Luke 19, verse 37. And when He came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. They're celebrating the Lord Jesus, all these disciples of His. And they're praising Him, praising God in loud voices for all of the things that they had seen Him do. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, they're saying. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then in the crowd there were some Pharisees, you know, they're never far away. And it says, some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to stop that. They're saying, you know, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Tell them to stop that. Tell them to stop appreciating You in that way. Tell them to stop expressing themselves in that way. Tell them to stop extolling You in that way. Tell them to stop praising You." And this is what He said. You know what He said, huh? "I'm telling you," He replied, "if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out. This song can never be silenced, and it will never be silenced. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly, among his disciples, among his people. Praise him. The response of praise, wonderful, wonderful matter. And you see how the nature of the praise is occasioned and lifted by an appreciation of the work of God. You see in verse 2, for example, of the psalm, it says, "Great are the works of the Lord." His works are great. Verse 6, it says they are powerful. It says they are faithful. It says they are just. It says in verse 3 that his deeds are glorious. And his deeds are majestic. And he gives gifts that we have not earned. He gives us gifts that we have not earned. And when we begin to look at his work, his deeds, his gifts, our minds are lost in wonder and praise at what he has done and what he is doing. It's his works, not ours. That's what's being praised here. That's what's occasioning the praise here. It's his works, not our works. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. And you know, I sometimes think that as Christian people, we just don't spend enough time reflecting quietly upon what it is God has done and what it is that God is doing. We don't reflect upon that. I think that expression is wonderful. In verse 2, it says they are pondered by all who delight in them. And the pondering and the delight go together. The delight creates pondering, and pondering creates delight. Ponder's a great word. It means not being in a hurry to move on. Ponder. To take time. To look at it this way. And to look at it that way. And to look at it in the light of yesterday's experience. And to look at it in the light of today's fears. His works. Ponder them. Delight in them. They're glorious and they're majestic, verse 3 says. And his righteousness endures forever. He's caused his wonders to be remembered. The nature of praise, the work of God in our lives. And so we think about the gifts, the work that he's doing, but it goes much further than that, because we need to see beyond the gift, beyond the work, beyond the deed, to the giver. Now, that's something often that we don't do. To the person of God himself, because the real source of praise is not what he does. It's not the gifts that he gives, however great they are. And some of them are very great, and I love that little expression there that says, he has given to us lands of other nations. He's given us something that we manifestly did not earn. He's given us something that is manifestly we have no right to. It's a strange thing to find in the psalm. But it echoes perfectly to what Christ has done for us. In Christ, God has given us things that are really we have no right to it at all. None at all. And we're enjoying things and will enjoy things that are just given to us as gifts. We haven't worked for them. We don't deserve them. They're not ours in any way. He gives them to us as great gifts, majestic and glorious. Praise him for what he's done. But beyond what he's done is the person himself. And we need to take our eyes off the gift and fix it on the giver. You see in verse 4, that's exactly what the writer of this psalm does. He moves away from the wonders and the works and the gifts, and he says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is gracious, he is compassionate, he is a provider, he is generous, verses 5 and 6. He is a promise maker, he is a promise keeper, he is faithful and just, verse 5 and 7 and 8 and 9. And he provides redemption. He saw and he came down and he paid the price. He ordained his covenant forever. Twice we are told the promise made will be the promise kept. His covenant he has ordained forever and ever. Verse 5. And verse 9, he ordained his covenant forever. And we are lost in the rock of the person of God. This God who looks upon us with grace and compassion, who provides for all we need, who makes us promises that are beyond our grasping, and who will keep them, and who gives us things that we don't deserve, and who is ever faithful, never breaks his word, and who is completely just, and he's redeemed us. He saw the plight we were in, and he came down, and he's lifted us up. And it ends by saying, his name is holy and awesome. And so, it's worship. We began this morning by praising him, and we end tonight by praising him. Let's make a resolution that this coming week we'll begin each day by praising him. When we come to his word, we'll begin by praising him. We'll remember who he is and what he's done and what he's like. And we'll carry that sense of praise with us all the way through the day. And remembering that we're singing in the song of eternity, never change, never change, only grow more and more glorious as time goes by. When I was a wee boy, I was telling somebody this morning at the coffee break. My great-grandmother, she was an old Christian lady, you know, and she loved to read the Bible till her eyesight made it not possible, really, for her to do so anymore. And every night before she went to bed, she used to say two things. It was a kind of mantra, really. She would say to whoever was there, and quite often I was there, and quite small, she would say, get the Bible, son. So she had this old Bible that was all worn and thumb marked, you know. And she'd say, read it to me now, read it to me. And after a few times, I understood that I wasn't to say to her, which part will I read to you? Because she just always wanted the same part read to her. And what she wanted read to her was Psalm 103. And I used to read this psalm to her until I could pretty much say it off by heart. And certainly she could. And sometimes when I was reading it, I used to look at her. And you know how with old folks, their lips say the words. And when I was reading it, probably not very expertly, she was saying the words. And this is how this psalm begins as well. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. You know, the day will come when you'll have no diseases. And it will be because of his gracious compassion towards you. As we were thinking this morning, the time will come when these humble bodies of ours are made like his glorious body. We'll have no diseases. He'll heal all our diseases. Forgives all our sins. The all is so important, isn't it? He forgives all our sins. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit, and he crowns us with love and compassion. And he satisfies our desires with good things. And it's as if our youth is renewed, like the eagles. As we praise him, as we live near to him, as we dwell in the temple, we're reinvigorated. It's as if our youth is being given back to us. There's energy in our spirit, in our spirit's step through the things of the day, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I was reading in Revelation chapter 22 not so long ago, and I was astonished to see a little verse. Maybe you've seen it. And it talks about that city. When we've all gone from here, when our life's work is ended, and we cross the swelling tide, in that city, it says, there'll be no temple. I pondered that. I pondered it. I took delight in it, I suppose, and pondered it. There'll be no temple. And what's a temple? The temple is a place that you go to worship God, to be near God. That would be our human understanding of the temple. And there will be no temple there, and the verse gives you the reason. For God himself and the Lamb will be our temple. And we will worship him. We will be in him, and he will be in us. And truly, our youth will be renewed like an eagle, strong, upward rising, power, lifting above everything, lost in God. Praise him. The end of that great Psalm 103, before my grandmother, great-grandmother always said, the second thing that she said every night, this is it from verse 20. Praise the Lord, you his angels, these great created beings. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everything he's ever done. Beautiful, complex, glorious. Everywhere in his dominion. Oh my, ponder that. Praise him. They're created for his praise. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Mustn't miss out on that soul. And then she would say, give a big sigh and say, it's a day's march nearer home. Well, she's home. And I'm on my way. And so are you. So will we join the song that the angels sing? And all those who are redeemed sing? Praise the Lord, O my soul. And all my inmost being, praise his holy name.